been reflecting these last couple weeks on the fact that we have a new pope. And I was kind of reflecting a little bit on how weird the church is at times as well, because we don't do things the way the world does things. And I think it's a good thing, and we stand out that way. And I remember watching the news media following Pope Francis's death, being very cordial about that. And then as soon as the funeral happened, they were very excited to start figuring out, now what's the process for the next pope? And it wasn't like watching an election in a country. They were really curious about what it is that God is doing in secret. Like, how is he at work in this? And they're kind of fascinated with it. I remember watching some of the coverage, and one of the TV anchors was a Baptist woman, and she said at one point, the world is awaiting like the next moral leader for our world. And I was just like, well, that's a weird comment coming from someone who's not even Catholic. But they see something in the papacy. And there's something in the hiddenness that's unlike anything else they experience in the world. And, you know, as you look through elections of popes in recent years, the person that is elected is never the person that they thought going into it would be the person. Unlike elections in a country, you know, there's polls going in and you kind of get a feel for what people are thinking. And in this case, it's always different because the Holy Spirit's at work. And the man who is chosen is not always the front runner. He's not always the one that people would think. Because the Holy Spirit sees deeper into the soul and knows what we need. And, you know, they're always curious, like, what happens in that silence? What happens behind those closed doors? They get a little glimpse of it because they know there's these days of prayer, and they get to listen to a few things, and there's a lot of silence, a lot of tuning the inner heart and the ear to hearing that Holy Spirit within. And I think it's a beautiful kind of mystery of God at work. And the world kind of marvels at it because it doesn't understand the Holy Spirit. It doesn't understand how God works. And I think it's a good question for us, like, where do we get these weird practices? Like, where does it come from, the conclave and the ways that they have come to vote and to do these things to elect a pope? And we get a glimpse of it, though, on our first reading today. It gives us an insight into how, from the very beginning, the church has worked. And we're hearing today in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 15, the very first church council. There's been 21 ecumenical councils in the last 2,000 years. And this is the very first one. It's about 50 AD, 17 years or so since Jesus died. And there is this debate going on. And Paul and Barnabas are in Antioch. You have people of the Jewish faith who are converts who are stirring up some trouble because you have Gentiles who are now coming in. And there's the debate of, what do we do? You know, Christianity, early Christianity, grew out of the Jewish faith, and so it carried a lot of those traditions. And now you have people from outside that faith, and they were confused. And it says in there was no little dissension or debate, meaning there was a lot of frustration going on. And so Paul and Barnabas wisely didn't make a choice on their own. They said, we need to go back to Jerusalem, back to all the apostles and the elders, and we need to present to them what God is doing. So they did. And that's where we get this first council of Jerusalem. And we're missing a chunk of it. Verses 3 through 21 are not recorded here, probably for the sake of brevity, but you kind of see the inner workings of the Holy Spirit, because there's this commotion as this begins, and people are frustrated here in Jerusalem, and they're, you know, kind of talking out of turn, and then Peter gets up, and he begins to speak, and they listen. And then it says, the whole assembly fell silent, and they listened while Paul and Barnabas describe the signs and wonders God had worked among the Gentiles through them. And then after them, James gets up and he begins to look at the Old Testament and all the different ways, and even Jesus' words of this light to the Gentiles that he speaks of, the faith going to the Gentiles. And this council began a little bit raucous and a little bit frustrated. And as they began to hear the testimony of Peter, and then Paul and Barnabas, and then the words of James, there was this silence that came over them. And they all, in one accord, put out these words that are recorded today, to these Gentiles, allowing them to come into the fullness of the faith. And you see in however long this took, I mean, in our mind, we think it took 20 minutes. It could have taken days, weeks of meeting, who knows? But in that time, their hearts were gradually opened to hearing the Holy Spirit at work. And it's particularly the words of Paul and Barnabas, who witnessed God at work. They witnessed him working miracles in people's lives. They saw the conversions, they saw all of it, and they shared these experiences, saying, if the Holy Spirit is doing this, who are we to say no? Who are we to deny what God is doing? And you can't blame them. Like, none of us want to say we're smarter than God. We can figure this all out. We can't. And they realized it. And the church, the early church, realized it too. As they began to see the workings of the Holy Spirit, they trusted. And so when we think, you know, how did we get a conclave and how did this whole process come about to elect a pope? Well, sure, it's not an ecumenical council like the Council of Jerusalem, but there's a lot of common similarities, including silence, listening to each other, paying attention to how the Holy Spirit's working, and prayer. And you kind of hear all of those elements here as well, or maybe not all of them because some of those verses have been kind of taken out. But if you go back and read them, you see all of those elements there of this being open to what God is doing. And so we see that in our church, and we've seen it throughout the history of the church, partly because we don't always trust ourselves. We don't always know if what we're hearing is truly God at work, and sometimes it's our own desires. Sometimes we're the one that wants to push ahead, or we want something. And what they realized in this council is when all of us start hearing the same thing, when all of us start seeing God working in the same way, we can speak with one voice, and we have confidence that we're not alone. It's not just a crazy idea, but it truly is God at work. And so we see that beginning early in the church and continuing throughout the centuries. Some councils probably could use a little more prayer, a little more silence, but different parts of history had different things happening. But we hear of this in the gospel. It's Jesus' promise to the apostles. This gospel takes place on Holy Thursday. It's right at the Last Supper. And he's speaking to the apostles to bring them some peace, knowing that he's going to be leaving them soon, that he's going to be dying. And he promises them, he says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. And he speaks of this advocate, this Holy Spirit, who will live within us. I think it's easy for us when we look at church council, we look at this recent conclave, and you see how the Holy Spirit is alive in like the whole council and the whole assembly of the bishops, of the apostles. And it's easy to see that. But I think for us, it's harder, personally, individually, because we don't have a council. We don't get together and try to figure out what God is doing very often. We often don't talk about the inner workings of the Holy Spirit in our life, maybe because we're unaware of them, or maybe because nobody would listen to us. But we don't have these moments where we come together as groups, and we don't really share these workings of God. And so there's a lot of, in our own lives, like, how do we know that it's truly God at work? And it's helpful to have a little bit of confidence in what God is doing within us, where we don't need a council to come together to tell us what's happening. And in the gospel, the very next line after Jesus promising the Holy Spirit speaks to how we know that he is at work in us. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. The hallmark of the Holy Spirit at work within us is peace. And it's a good thing to remember that we're looking for this peace of God that only he can bring within our soul. Because often in our world, we look for peace, and the world prays for peace. We're going to pray for peace in our intercessions in our world in a very external way that people can actually stop fighting and violence can cease and people can actually grow together as one. That's a very external peace, something we hope for. But there is an internal peace that God desires to give us, that no matter what time we live in, if it's peaceful or not, no matter what our situation is, he is with us. And he's the one leading us. That's the peace he desires to give, so that we can live without fear, that we can live without our hearts being troubled, as he says. And I think we know that, but we don't always experience it. And I think there's like the extreme examples, I always love them, of the saints who have literally given their lives while in the midst of chaos, yet totally at peace. St. Stephen, the very first martyr of the church, is the one as he's being stoned to death, and he's smiling like an angel. And it confuses them, like, who is this guy that is so joyful? You have St. Maria Goretti, who in her death forgives the man who tried to assault her and kill her. And there's like this odd peace as she is dying over the next day that she has. St. Maximian Kolbe, in a starvation chamber in a concentration camp in World War II, dying, and yet this peace is exuding, this joy comes out of him in the midst of the worst place you can think of externally, but internally he is at peace with God. And everyone within that room, everyone outside the room is affected by this joy, this peace that is exuding out of him. And we see it in like these major ways that when God is with us, no matter what suffering we go through, there's a peace that reigns in our heart because we realize it's all in his power. There's nothing I can do to change it. I'm at peace knowing that he is with me. But there's also normal examples in our life where we encounter this peace of God. And for me, it often happens when I get a crazy thought to call someone that I wasn't thinking of calling, and I do. And in that moment, when I call them, it was the very moment they needed to talk. It was the moment when they're suffering or going through some difficulty and they needed a friend. And I've often looked back and marveled and thought, wow, God, you have power to pull every string within me and push every button you need at the moment you need it. And just that marveling of how deeply he works in our soul. One of the discerners this year for seminary was joking about how last year he was very nervous talking to his parish priest about the priesthood, and he didn't want to do it. He did, but he didn't, you know, because once he did, he knew there was no turning back. And so he was very anxious, and he was walking up to the church, and he got nervous, and he went back to the car only to realize that he had locked his keys in the car, which he never does. And so he was kind of frustrated by the whole experience, but in that moment, he realized maybe my foolishness is God's way of forcing me, in a sense, to have this conversation and forcing me to confront what I'm afraid of. And in that moment, he had this incredible peace, knowing that even in his foolishness, God was working. And we have those moments where when we're driving, we take a route that's unexpected. We decide to stop at a store for some reason we don't know, and we encounter someone, or something happens that changes our life in that moment. And there is this overwhelming peace that comes if we allow ourselves to reflect that God is here, that he's allowed this thing to happen. He's put someone in my path, in my life, because he loves me. And I think when we experience these moments, we find this peace. It's a very similar peace that Pope Leo had when he was elected. It was Cardinal Dolan that reported that as his name was being called, his head was in his hands, and just being overwhelmed as he was realizing more and more that he was going to be elected the next pope. And at some point, he lifted up his head out of his hands, and he had this peaceful serenity on his face. It went from, oh God, is this really happening, to suddenly, like, if this is your will, I'm at peace with it. And you realize that's somebody who trusts the Holy Spirit deeply, because anybody else would be terrified. Any of us would be terrified. And yet this peace came from God. And it really hasn't left him. As you've heard him speak, you can tell he's overwhelmed in a human sense, but he's also at peace that it is all God's work. And I think it's helpful looking at the Holy Spirit now in the sixth week of Easter, because in 2 weeks we are going to be celebrating Pentecost, which is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that the apostles experienced of this giving them this advocate who would live within them, that would lead them. And Jesus prepared them for that. He walked with them. And for us, it's helpful because in 2 weeks, yes, we're going to have this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that annually we celebrate, and he renews within us his presence, first received at baptism. But it's helpful because we also need to prepare our hearts to receive that gift, to have our eyes and our ears and our mind opened to the workings of God within us and to the peace that he desires to bring. And so I would encourage you today to pray for that wisdom, to hear as the apostles heard in the Council of Jerusalem, as the cardinals heard in the conclave, to hear the word of God at work. Praying for that wisdom to see him this week, these next 2 weeks, in your different things that are happening in your life, that you can begin to see with clarity God's presence. So that when he comes at Pentecost, there can be an overflowing peace that truly does transform your life and lead you faithfully into the world. We pray today that our hearts can be opened and that we truly can receive that peace that only God can give. God bless you.